Welcome, everyone, to this WebSphere Support Technical Exchange session. Today's topic is migrating to IBM Integration Plus version 10. The presenters are David Brickell and Vivek Grover. David and Vivek are Level 2 support engineers for IBM Integration Plus, IIB. Their responsibilities include troubleshooting customers' real-time problems worldwide and providing resolution. At this time, I would like to turn the presentation over to Vivek.
Thank you, Kathy. Good morning, everyone. Thanks again for joining. Today, we will broadly cover the topic migration to IBM Integration Bus version 10 that was announced not too long ago, the end of March, March 27th of this year. It is it's a great new release with lots of features, lots of enhancements that helps IIB maintain its status as one of the best overall solutions for integration needs. So we will look into migrating to version 10 from the previous releases of Message Broker or IIB. Let's go to slide number 2. So starting with the agenda, we will cover these topics. We will talk about what's new in IIB version 10, support and migration paths that is supported for IIB version 10, coexistence of IIB 10 with other releases. We will talk about IIB and MQ. There's a lot of curiosity among the users regarding the MQ not being the prerequisite anymore. So we'll talk a bit about that. Different migration options, migrating toolkit resources, web UI, pre-migration steps, runtime migration, post-migration steps, any behavioral changes in version 10. We'll also touch upon migrating from WSB to IIB, and we'll look at some samples and tutorials and where they're located. So let's go to slide 3, please. So this slide broadly covers some of the main new features. I didn't list all of them, but it gives you some idea. I think these are, I touched upon the most important ones in version 10. It's not the complete list, but there is a link under references, and it's covered very well in the Knowledge Center. So, but just to start with, we have a very simple and fast installation process in V10. The toolkit and runtime are part of the same package, so components are components get installed, both toolkit and integration node runtime. They're both installed at the same time under the same file, under the same package. And components are started and created also together as soon as you start the toolkit the first time. So you don't even need to run the default configuration wizard. You would see the components getting created when you start the toolkit. You can create the components manually, of course, and go from there as well. MQ dependency has been removed, so MQ as a prereq has been removed, but users are still allowed to use it as before. So the internals, under the cover internals, may have changed in the way how components communicate with each other, but for the user, we've tried to make it as transparent as possible. The MQ Explorer is removed, though, so that is one thing that is no longer available. We have the enhanced web UI for the administration purposes, so that is the only way, in addition to the command line administration and viewing and managing certain components. But your web UI is the GUI, the only GUI-based option that is available so far. The other new thing is connection to the applications and devices using MQTT protocol. We have we have a couple nodes here, MQTT Publish, MQTT Subscribe. So these are the new nodes that have been introduced that allow you to communicate with MQTT clients. Flexible administration security. We do have the traditional MQ-based broker administration security that we used to have until version 9, and that still goes into version 10. However, we've also added file-based security, so you can do the administration of security using without having MQ in the picture at all. Shared libraries that are deployed independently of the referencing resources, as it says here on the slide. This feature was one of the most requested enhancements after the release of applications and libraries in version 8. And essentially in the earlier versions of IIB, all the libraries were static, and therefore if you wanted to share them across the applications, you had to deploy them to all the applications effectively. So you're basically distributing multiple copies of the same library into the integration node. And V10 basically introduces this shared libraries, which allows you to reference the library that is deployed independently of the resources using it, so you don't have to deploy it multiple times. There are some restrictions to consider, of course, but it's a great new feature, great new enhancement. Tutorials gallery, traditionally we called it samples gallery, and now we have it's a new name, tutorials gallery, and GitHub is where all the samples are located, so you can still go through your knowledge center as before. It may take you to the GitHub. The tutorial gallery provides access to a number of tutorials that are stored on the GitHub repository, and it automatically displays the new tutorials when they're added to GitHub repository. So when the development team or anybody in support or IBM, they post something on GitHub, you would see those things displayed in your repository. You don't need to refresh anything. From the tutorial gallery, then you can download, deploy, and test the sample integration solutions and also explore the configuration of the solution components to learn how to develop these integration solutions of your own. Let's go to slide 4, please. So the supported migration paths, you can migrate to version 10 from the listed message broker and IIB releases there, 7.05. If you're on a previous fixed pack on version 7, you should upgrade to fixed pack 5 before migrating to V10. Version 8 and version 9, you can directly perform the migration. MQ installation. So MQ, though it's not a prereq now, if you're migrating from the previous from a previous version, then of course MQ was a dependency in the previous release, so you will be carrying MQ over to the new one when you do the migration, depending on the migration option you pick. But for instance, if you are migrating from version 7.005, you have to consider what version of MQ you're running with it, because 7.05 supports MQ 7.01, 7.101, and 7.5. So IIB V10 isn't supported with 7.01. So if you're running MQ 7.01, then you must also upgrade MQ to the supported version of MQ with version 10, and make sure that 7.05 is functional, working before you attempt the migration. Likewise, we have Broker 8. That supports MQ 7.016, and then if it's 7.103, then it requires 8.01, and if it's 7.501, then it requires, again, 8.04. So bear in mind, these are the MQ, when you're migrating from a previous release, MQ, though not a prereq, but when you're migrating from the previous release, MQ level becomes very important, And you must make sure that your MQ is not at an unsupported level with IIB 10. Otherwise, you may run into issues. Let's go to slide 5. So version 10 can coexist with all the previous releases, IIB 9, 8, 7. They're all installed in different directories, so there's no problems coexisting with those versions. On Windows, you want to have you want to make sure that on Windows, multiple instances of these versions can be installed, but only with different fix packs. So if you have multiple instances of version 8 or version 7, they should all be at different fix pack level when you're doing the migration. And on Unixes, that restriction's not there, so you can even install the same fix pack, same version, and multiple instances of each of those on the same system. So you must ensure, of course, that the correct MQSI profile is sourced before you start the integration nodes to pick up the correct fix pack levels and the correct version of IIB. So the MQSI profile is shipped with the product as it did before, and you just need to make sure that you're sourcing the right profile so it picks up the right libraries and the right versions. And multiple versions of IIB Toolkit can also be installed on the same machine. You cannot use IIB 10 Toolkit to connect to a version 9 broker, though, or vice versa. Like I said, the internals have changed in the way we communicate between components. So you should not V9 Toolkit should be connecting to V9 broker, and V10 Toolkit should be connecting to the V10 brokers or integration nodes. Go to slide 6. So as I mentioned earlier, though MQ requirement for IIB has been removed, IIB 10 still integrates with MQ and does provide the seamless migration, seamless as it can be. On ZOS, MQ requirement hasn't changed, so MQ is still required as before. But on distributed platforms, Windows and Unixes, MQ is not a prerequisite, but it can be used. So for migration purposes, if you're going to do like an in-place migration, then you would be using MQ because you'd be carrying the queue manager component with you and the MQ objects with you when you migrate. If you do use MQ, then you must check the version of MQ, as I mentioned, that is supported with version 10. So I listed the supported versions of MQ here on the slide. IIB 10 is supported with MQ 7104. So if you're on 7101, say, for instance, then you must upgrade MQ to 7104 and install those two listed APARs. Likewise, for MQ 7502, you need the two listed APARs there for MQ. So MQ must be at that level for IIB V10 to work and function correctly. IIB version 10 gives the ability to configure local or client connections to Queue Manager. So there's a little flexibility there in terms of the different topologies that can be used, and I'll cover that in a little bit. But the IIB nodes, integration nodes, can connect to Queue Manager as client applications. We have policy files that can be used, the configurable services that can be used to make the connections. And you can use the connection properties on MQ nodes, MQ, say, for instance, MQ input or output nodes. You can also create the broker, run MQSI create broker command to run to create integration node, provide the dash Q flag as before. Dash Q flag is optional. If you recall, in the previous releases, dash Q could not be changed once the integration node or broker was created, but here in V10-Q has become an optional flag. So if you do provide it, you can also change it with MQSI Chain Broker command. You must also configure MQ environment for the integration nodes. If you have multiple MQ installations on the same box, make sure you run the appropriate setmqenv command to set up your MQ level. So I just gave the example there for setmqenv -s and -x64 for 64-bit support. Also, as I mentioned earlier, IVX, the IV Explorer, or MB Explorer, would not be needed. It's completely superseded by Web UI. So all the admin tasks are now done via Web UI. Let's go to slide 7, please. So this chart shows the nodes and the capabilities that if you have a need for, then you would still be using MQ. And MQ the queue manager would still have to be associated with the integration node in IIB. So, for example, if you want to use record and replay, or if you want to use global transactionality, if you want to use administration security with MQ, or if you're using, if you're using high availability for multi-instance queue manager, then these capabilities would still require you to work with to associate queue manager with integration node. These capabilities use the system broker queues, system broker objects underneath, and they would still require the queue manager to be there. Likewise, you also have the nodes on the left hand side of this table. So these are the nodes. If you're using these nodes in your message flows, then they would also require MQ queue manager to be associated with the integration node. Let's go to slide 8. So on this chart, we show the capabilities and nodes for which MQ is not required to be associated with the integration nodes. So for instance, if you are using JMS nodes, or if you're using MQ nodes, you can use the configurable services and the connection properties to be able to connect to the queue manager remotely or even in the local binding mode. But they do not require the queue manager to be associated with an integration node. And if you're using publish and subscribe, so if you're using it in the capacity of generating events for any monitoring or operational purposes, then again, you don't require the queue manager to be associated with integration nodes. So you can again connect to the queue managers, but you don't really need the queue manager to be associated with integration node. And if SSL is needed, then MQ nodes can be configured. They would make use of the broker-wide key store, so you can configure broker registry for key store and trust store components, and the nodes, the message flows containing those nodes that make an SSL communication with MQ would be using those key store and trust stores. Let's go to slide 9. Right, so this chart shows the enhanced flexibility that I was talking about earlier with the communications between IIB and MQ and the different topologies that may be used in your environment. So MQ nodes, for instance, the one in the center, one to many, if you look at that, MQ nodes from the same message flow, different MQ nodes from the same message flow in an integration node can access different queue managers directly. So it's not like they're part of the same flow, so they have to be associated with the same queue manager or the local default queue manager. On the right side, where you see many to one, the MQ nodes from the different message flows. So you have MQ input node, MQ get node, MQ output node, from different message flows in the different integration nodes can use the same queue manager as well. So this is another added-on feature. And then we also have the traditional one-to-one topology on your extreme left that may still be used where you may continue to use the nodes to be associated with the same queue manager, local one, and then local sends the messages to the remote queue manager via transmit queue and channels. So queue manager links here would be defined by the policy or configurable services, and then you can basically connect to the queue managers in the client mode. Let's go to slide 10. So this slide shows one of the migration options that we have available. It's in-place migration. This option would be used to migrate your existing broker and its components, the existing integration node and, its execution groups or integration servers. It would migrate them to version 10. It should be performed on the same system where your previous release exists. This option will require you to stop the broker or stop your integration node. So at a high level, your steps would be you install V10, you stop the old broker, then you run the migrate components command, and then you start the integration node in version 10. So you would be using the command NQSI migrate components. It provides you the dash D option if you want to roll back to the previous state if something goes wrong, or if you decide to roll back to the previous version again. So there is no support available for 32-bit operating system. So if you remember in the older versions, Windows x86, Linux x86, they were still you could run your brokers on 32-bit operating systems, but starting V10, 32-bit OS are no longer supported. So you have to migrate to 64-bit. If you're migrating from 32-bit operating system, then you may not be able to use in-place migration. You would have to rely on the parallel migration technique. Let's go to slide 11. Right, so here's another migration option that you can use if you do not want to stop your broker, especially in your production environments, if you don't want any sort of downtime there. It provides you the ability to migrate on the same system or also on a different system. It does not overlap with the existing broker, so there's no need to stop the broker, the previous release. Broker, you can keep that running because anyway, V10 is going to be installed in a different directory, and you're going to create the integration node. So you will you may use the same runtime directories, but it would all be contained in its own package, in its own directories, it will have its own directory structure. So there would not be any overlap. So you're basically going to create a new integration node and deploy artifacts to it. As mentioned earlier, 32-bit OS is not supported in IIB10, so if you're migrating from 32-bit, you would have to use parallel migration and then recreate their integration nodes from scratch. It requires that the integration node and integration server, your broker and execution group properties, and the administration security, if that is defined, that is configured, any SSL configuration that may have been done, any configurable services. So they would have to be reconfigured. You can certainly try and export some of these from the previous version and then re-import them, but they would have to be redefined. Go to slide 12. So migrating the toolkit resources, such as message flows projects, message set projects, Java projects, or you know, applications and libraries introduced in version 8 or 9, they can be exported from your previous toolkit version, and then you can import them into the newer, into your version 10 toolkit. It's best to import these projects as project interchange files. It would export them as zip files, and you can import the zip, again, import project interchange files into your V10 toolkit, because that would bring all the reference objects along with it. So you can, we also, of course, when you have, when you import the message broker projects or integration projects into V10 toolkit, you can convert them, like V9, you could convert them to applications or libraries just by right-clicking on the project. And there are two options available. So you could convert a single project to right-click and do a convert, right-click on the project and convert the project into an application or a library. It would not convert the references. It would only convert that particular object. But if you use the other option, which is analyze and convert projects, you could run it not only on multiple projects. It would also bring in all the reference resources and it would convert them, make them part of your application and libraries. So that is the added advantage there. Let's go to slide 13, please. So some manual work would be needed. So when you export and import your projects into, or your apps and libs into V10, depending on the kind of nodes you have, the kind of features you have, it may require you to do some manual tweaking there, some manual organization. So first thing that I always suggest to the users is to look for all the errors that they're seeing and see what all can be resolved with quick fixes. So if you have any references made to jar files or anything like that, they would all be part of the quick fixes. You can just right-click on the error message, click on quick fix, and it would tell you what exactly you need to do, you know, replace the library or replace a jar or what is the quick fix that it's asking you to perform. So resolve all the quick fixes first, and then any of the leftover errors that cannot be resolved with the quick fixes, look into those and then make the necessary adjustments if needed. So when you, you know, if you're using mapping nodes, if you're using SCA nodes or adapter nodes, then there might be some manual tweaking, and we'll also look into some of those into detail, in more detail here in the subsequent foils. But when you include the resources in an application or library, the resources become visible to the other applications and libraries. So, you know, if you remember, the resources had... these resources have no effect in a message flow project. You can include them in the message flow project for reference only. But when you include these resources in an application or library, then these resources do become visible to other apps and libs. And that visibility can also cause some resolution issues within your workspace. So, you know, a quick example would be a message flow project, you know, that might contain an XSD file. That defines the element, say an element 1, and a message set also contains the XSD file, another XSD file that defines an element called element 1. So now you've got two different projects using the same terminology, element 1. And in the previous versions of Broker, this duplication could cause problems, because the element in the flow project is not used for message set for the name resolution. But when you upgrade, when you migrate to V10, the presence of these two elements that are named element 1 would cause an error. And then the resources from toolkit version 10 cannot be used in so this is a caveat. I mean, you need to make sure that the resources from version 10 toolkit cannot be used in the previous versions of toolkit. So once you migrate, once you import V10, import resources into V10. So may want to keep those copies aside and make a, you know, make a another copy for V10 toolkit. So the ones that you convert into V10 toolkit, then you would be using specifically to V10 only for V10 within the V10 toolkit. Let's go to slide 14. All right, so note that some of the other changes that you would have to make after importing the resources from your previous toolkits to the version 10 toolkit. So if you're migrating any message flows that use SSL v3 protocol, you recall the SSL v3 is no longer recommended because of the Poodle vulnerability late last year, I think. And version 10 does not allow you to use SSL v3 protocol. So you would be, if you're migrating from, say, v7 with the HTTP request node still using SSL v3, you would have to make the changes to the request node property to point a TLS node, to point a TLS protocol before, and then you deploy that flow. You would have to redeploy that flow again. Otherwise, at runtime, it may not work. Then if you're migrating message flows that use JMS nodes, then some properties on JMS nodes have changed from the transaction mode, for instance. So the transaction mode traditionally had three values, local, global, or none. And in V10, the same nodes would not have those options. The transaction mode would have the values yes or no. So yes, if you are going to use local or global, so that change will have to be made. And of course, if you're using global, there's a coordinated transaction property on the node, so you also need to update that property. So this is, again, documented in the Knowledge Center. I have the reference, the resource reference, but sure, you know, if there's any questions, feel free and let me know. If you're using any WSDL XML schema information, if that is to be made available to any of the SOAP input nodes, for instance, then you would have to enable support for that WSDL. So you may want to make that change on SOAP input node before redeploying the flow. Otherwise, again, you may have some issues. Let's go to slide 15. So also, if you have any custom integration applications that were using configmanagerproxy.jar file, we no longer ship configmanagerproxy.jar. We ship a new version, it's called integrationapi.jar. All those references to configmanagerproxy.jar would break, so you would have to point them to integrationapi.jar and then include that in your class path for your applications. Another thing, when migrating a flow with the adapter nodes, so SAP or PeopleSoft or Siebel, then as I mentioned, 32-bit support is no longer available. So even for Java connectors, the nodes that employ Java connectors to be used, such as SAP nodes, so you would download Java connectors from the SAP marketplace. So download the new ones, the 64-bit ones, and then you would have to update your config service and your Java build path. So that would be another change that would have to be made manually, and then a redeploy would have to be done. Slide 16. So as I mentioned earlier, IV Explorer or MQMB Explorer is no longer provided as part of version 10. So the only method of administration is to use WebUI. Some of you may have been familiar with WebUI. It was made available in version 9 also, though with limited capabilities, but with V10, you can do almost everything that MQ Explorer offers. So some of these things I have listed here, as WebUI offers the primary means of runtime administration. So you can use WebUI to export your port configurations from external HTTP listeners in WebUI. You can allow creation, renaming, or deletion of components. You can use you can define configurable services, export and import configurable services in WebUI. The WebUI also offers the ability to change the integration server properties. So, you know, JVM, cache, debug, FTE, et cetera, those properties may be changed in WebUI. And like version 9, it also provides the ability to define workload management policies that may be stored in your integration registry. So if you want to define your workload management policies for testing, for performance, workload balancing, then you can do that in WebUI as well. One thing that used to be in MB Explorer, which was a definition of policy sets and bindings, creation of security profiles, etc., those have moved to IIB Toolkit. So they're not in WebUI. So you can just right-click your integration node in your toolkit, and it pops up the ability to configure policy sets and bindings there. That part isn't available in the WebUI. Let's go to slide 17. So now I hand over to David Brickell, who will take us through the remainder of the charts and cover the runtime aspects of IIB migration.
Thank you, Vivek. So to begin, we will be covering the pre-migration steps. If your message flows access user databases through the ODBC connection, you will need to back up the ODBC files that you use for these connections. Make sure to take a copy of these files and store them safely in a different location. If you have created or configured configurable services for your message flows, record the properties of all your configurable services in order to recreate them later. Back up your toolkit workspace and resources like message flow files, message set definition files, Java files, ESQL files, mapping files, XML schema files, and bar files. Export all of your projects from your current toolkit. Make sure you take the appropriate steps based off your system setup to archive your workspace resources. Slide 18, please. If your environment includes access to databases, create ODBC definitions for the databases and specify the appropriate database drivers. On Windows, you can do this using the ODBC Data Source Administrator tool. And on Linux, you'll actually need to update your ODBC and ODBC sysINI environment variables so that they point to the new ODBC INI and ODBC INST INI files. For XA resources definitions, they should be updated as well. On Windows, you can make these changes through the QManager Properties window and the NQ Service Snap-in. And on Linux, you would simply update the appropriate qm.ini file. Finally, you'll want to confirm your ODBC environment is set up correctly using the NQSI CVP command. Slide 19. Once the initial migration steps have been finished, you will need to begin the migration process. Depending upon what type of migration you want to perform and on what kind of setup, you will need to take different steps to complete this process. The steps you need to take in order to perform an in-place migration on a distributed system are detailed here. First, you will need to install IIB on the same computer as the current version. Second, you will need to stop all channels connected to IIB. Make sure to close any open instances of Web UI, as this can prevent IIB from shutting down right away. Stop your integration node, and if you are using ODBC connections, make sure you follow the pre-migration steps for setting this up for the new install. Also, make sure you have set up your new command environment, Linux, making sure that you run the correct environment profile, and Windows, make sure you're running the correct command console. Slide 20. Next, you will run the MQSI migrate components command. If the original node was created specifying an HTTP listener port with the -p flag, these properties will be migrated as well and can be changed using the MQSI set dbparms command. Copy any of the environment settings from your old install. If your integration node does not need to be associated with the queue manager in version 10, you can remove the queue manager from the integration node by using the MQSI change broker command. Finally, you can start the newly migrated broker using MQSI start. Slide 21. The initial steps for performing an in-place migration on ZOS is largely the same as for distributed. Once the integration node is stopped, you will need to create a new PDSE with the customized version 10 JCL scripts, stopping before you deploy the actual IBM integration bus. Next, you will need to edit the BIPMGCMP, which is the MQSI migrate components job, which migrates the registry and the queue. Lastly, you will replace the started task JCL that is in the procedures library with the version 10 one, and then start the new version 10 node, which will have its configuration checked by the verification program. Slide 22. For a multi-instance broker migration, you first need to install version 10 on each node within a different directory from the current version. You will need to stop all channels and close any Web UI instances. Then you must stop the broker first on the standby mode and then on the active node. This will keep your broker from coming back up unintentionally. Next, you will run the MQSI migrate components command. Make sure to copy any custom environment configurations from the previous version to the new V10 environment. Finally, beginning with the active node, start your integration nodes. This will keep your standby nodes from becoming active. Slide 23. For parallel migrations, you can install version 10 either on the same system but in a different directory or on an entirely different system. You will need to migrate your deployed resources to the new V10 toolkit. This is because you will be deploying your migrated resources instead of transferring them directly with the MQSI migrate components command. As per in-place migration, you will need to set up your version 10 command environment. Now, instead of migrating your broker with the MQSI migrate components command, you will instead create a new V10 node. Next, start that V10 mode. Slide 24. Now it's time to start configuring your integration nodes so that they match your previous versions. Start by making a list of all your previously existing integration servers within your old node, and then create them on the new integration node. Now you simply deploy all of your migrated resources from the version 10 toolkit. Finally, don't forget to configure all relevant integration node properties on the new V10 node. This puts you in a working state where both V10 and your previous version of broker are up and running. At this point, you have the option of stopping and deleting your old broker. Slide 25. After finishing with your actual migration, there are a few post-migration steps that should be taken. As you can see, some of these steps have been briefly mentioned in earlier slides, but I will try to cover them in more detail now. Slide 26. With every new version of Integration Bus, technical changes are made. Some examples of technical changes can be seen here. Improvements have been made to DFDL since version 9. The way XML NFC handles time zones has changed since version 7 and again since version 8. Also in version 7, statistics data on both accounting and resource type have changed. More in-depth details about the above changes and more can be viewed online in the knowledge collection page for technical changes. A link will be included at the end of this presentation to this page. Slide 27. In the previous instructions for migration steps needed to be taken to correctly set up your new Integration Bus command environment, post-migration you should take these steps to verify that this has been done correctly. Lots of time, problems can occur because of simple mistakes like not running the correct profile, not configuring the environment variables to point to the new resources like ODBC INI file, or simply not logging off again before running the specific profile you require. Issuing the MQSI CVP command is also a useful tool to help verify your configuration has been set up correctly. Slide 28. Configuring your administration security has been made more flexible in V10. Now, instead of being forced to use MQ-based permissions, you can instead use file-based permissions. Now that MQ is no longer required, V10 IIB will not ship with the Broker Explorer plugin. You can use WebUI to view information regarding your security profiles, though. Here you can see an example of two profiles created on my Windows machine. I have assigned the user DMBrick to the admin role. Slide 29. Migrating your deployable resources to the new toolkit prior to deploying them is necessary to take advantage of new functionality. Using these resources without first migrating them is often possible, but they are used as is. If any changes are needed to be made to them, the migration process must be taken. All that is needed to migrate these resources is to import them into the new V10 toolkit and rebuild any bar files. Some changes are as simple as naming changes. For example, message flow projects were replaced by message broker projects in WBV8. Then in V9, message broker projects were renamed to integration projects. Some resources do require some additional steps after importing them into toolkit. These steps vary, and further instructions are detailed in the Knowledge Center. Slide 30, please. It is important to note that behavioral changes have been made in IAB V10 compared to older versions. Some of these we have touched upon earlier, like WebUI being used for administrative tasks, and IAB V10 now have the option to use file-based security instead of MQ. Some commands have been updated to reflect the removal of MQ as a requirement as well. Slide 31. Although MQ is no longer required for IAB to work, certain functionality still requires the use of MQ. Some functionality is more obvious, like MQ nodes. Others, like aggregation and collector nodes, are not. A list of all the functionality requiring MQ is detailed in the Knowledge Center and should be referenced prior to performing your migration. We also discussed that functionality in those nodes specifically in some of the earlier slides. The graphical mapping node has had some alterations made to assign transfer works in the editor to correctly handle empty strings in an element. Statistic data on ZOS has been altered so that time intervals can be correctly calculated using WebUI. Slide 32. If migrating from version 8 or version 7, WebUI has not been enabled on those brokers by default, you will need to enable WebUI with these brokers after migrating. Any broker created within version 10 environment will have WebUI enabled by default. Starting with version 8, all bar files are packaged by including source files instead of compiling. Also starting with version 8, resources are now stored in either applications or libraries. Slide 33. With all version 10's new benefits, you may wish to migrate over your ESB projects from WESB in order to incorporate them into IIB. Tools within the IIB toolkit can help with this process. in order to import a project from WESB, you would first need to open the WebSphere ESB import wizard. From here, you would select the PI that you want to import. If you choose to, you can run the conversion tool by selecting this option prior to hitting the Finish button. Slide 34. Here you can see what the conversion tool looks like. It's a fairly straightforward process, although some manual changes may be needed afterwards, depending upon the different aspects of your project. Generally, you can see what changes are needed by looking at the Problems tab and seeing what errors are being reported at the time. Vivek went over how to go through quick fixes on those, and they help you identify those issues. Slide 35. To help users better learn about IIV and its capabilities, improvements have been made to the sample gallery, which is now titled Tutorial Gallery. This can be accessed the same as before by going to the Help menu of the toolkit. In previous versions of Toolkit, samples were all shipped with the product. Now when you open the Tutorial Gallery, a list of tutorials are presented from an online source. This allows users to access a gallery that is continuously updated to cover all of the most recent functionality by our developers. Slide 36. Here you can see that I've started the tutorial process. Each tutorial contains three tabs, and the first tab seen here assists with the setup, allowing you to import any necessary materials, including bar files and flows. Slide 37. The second tab provides details about all the components within the tutorial regarding how they work. And the final tab seen here provides for you the needed steps to run the tutorial and validate that it worked correctly. Additionally, there is an option to help clean up the resources once the tutorial is done. Slide 38. Here you can see the referenced resources that I mentioned earlier. A lot of information is stored within the Knowledge Center in the System Requirements page. We highly recommend that you check out these resources after the presentation for further information regarding the product. And with that, I think we can hand over for a Q&A session.
Thank you, David and Vivek, for this presentation. We have quite a few questions in the group chat, so we're going to get started with those. The first question came from Fayez. IIB version 10 supports running on RHEL OS version 5?
Yeah, so I think the question says if it's supported. In our understanding, the question is if version 10 is supported on Red Hat Linux version 5. And I do not see it listed on the – I think the minimum we support is Red Hat 6 onwards. Of course, there's different flavors, other different flavors of Linux supported there, but I don't see – so version 5 doesn't look like it's being tested or supported.
And the next question is from Sidhar. One of the concerns IIB, ESB kind of in general that is become a single access point for all traffic going through in and out can become an overhead. Any thoughts? I don't know if you want to repeat that. I don't know that.
Yeah, I think if I understand this right, it's more of a from a discussion standpoint. If ESB in general is becomes a single access point where through which all traffic goes and can become overhead. I mean that's. I think there's, of course, that's the nature of middleware application. I think it would be, you are doing the message transformation, and if that requires you to send them through IIB, then that's what you're going to do. There are ways to reduce the overhead, though. I mean, there are ways to take care of, improve the CPU usage, to improve the performance. Improve the memory usage.
Workload
balancing is there. Multi-instance capability is there. So there's numerous ways you can explore, depending on what and how you're structured. to handle that sort of thing. So I don't know if that answers the question or not, but I mean, this is that's what I perceived from the question posted there. The question is, are there improved utilities for monitoring, publish, subscribe? Well, we do provide the version 10 ships the MQTT notes, MQTT publish, MQTT subscribes to work with the clients that use MQTT, telemetry transport protocol. There is a built-in MQTT broker, internal broker for MQTT purposes that is provided with IIB, and MQTT publication is enabled by default for all the events that are generated by the integration node. So apart from any business events, it does generate all the other events. So those events can be tapped using the accounting stats, using other monitoring capabilities. So that sort of improvement has taken place. And it's documented. I mean, I think it's on one of my slides. Yeah, on slide 8, that under capabilities, where the publish and subscribe is a hyperlink. If you click on that, it would take you to all the enhancements that are part of MQ, that are part of the publish and subscribe. So you may want to check that out. I'll move to the next question. Is it possible to install only IIB version 10 runtime on a server? We do not want to install the integration toolkit on our servers. Yeah, I think it's you can use the custom install option and just select the runtime. Do not select toolkit. And that would give you the ability to just install the runtime. The next question, do we need to use the exact version of MQ7502 for IIB 10, or are versions above also supported? Yes, 7502 or above are supported. So 7502 was the minimum that I listed there. Anything above, other fixed packs are supported. They're fine. Do we have multiple installations of the V9 and V10? And do we map? Yes, we do. You can have multiple installations of IIB 9 and version 10. On Windows, they must be at different fixed pack levels, but on Unixes, yes, you can, even with the same fixed packs. Do we map the same IIB to different versions of MQ on the same server? You can. So if you're building a new integration node, you can associate it with the different MQ version, the queue manager that you would associate with. You just run the appropriate set MQENV command, and you'll associate that integration node with that level of MQ queue manager. So, yeah, in the essence, I think that should be doable. It's fine. Next question, any special considerations for IIB 9 that uses global cache configuration to perform migration? So if I understand this right, you're asking if there is any special consideration if you're using global cache. No special consideration. The caching code hasn't really changed. It's pretty much identical between 9 and 10. So, I mean, of course, global cache was available in 9, so assuming you're on 9, and that hasn't changed between 9 and 10, so you should be fine. Can we still use IBX version 9 if version 10 doesn't come with Explorer? No, you cannot. You should not. It's the way to communicate under the covers. We no longer provide system broker objects for communication. So the traditional mode of communication between MQ Explorer or any clients or internal communication within integration node, that has changed. So I would not encourage you to do that. We state that clearly. It's you must use web UI, or you can use command line to a certain extent. IIB V10 supports multiple realm LDAP repository support. So LDAP support for message-based security is provided, which is the same as it was in version 9 or even version 8. So you could define the LDAP if you're using security profile and mapping users to LDAP from your Active Directory. I'm not quite certain about multiple realm, to be honest. I don't know. David, do you have any input on that?
No, I don't. I'm not sure if multiple realms is supported with an LDAP, an IAB, or not.
We can check on that and get back to you. Let me move on to the next question here. So I do see one related question here, which is around support of LDAP with web UI. Is IIB V10 web UI integrated to LDAP for role-based management? Not with file-based security. If you're using file-based security, then no. For MQ, if you're using MQ in version 9, I'm thinking with version 9, if we supported, nothing's really changed between 9 and 10 for LDAP users. If you're using LDAP, if your users are defined on LDAP and you're connecting with MQ-based administration security, I think MQ supported. If MQ supported it, then it would still be supported. But from a file-based perspective, IIB does not support that. Let me see. I think I may have skipped one question here. Question on PubSub model on WAS. If the subscriber app deployed on WAS cluster, does this subscriber app cluster need to run only on single cluster member to avoid subscriber's app code on clustering, on cluster reading performing on the same topic message?
That would be a question for WAS.
Well, I do not have the answer to that question. I mean, from an application perspective, you should not be getting duplicate messages, and broker would not be, or integration node should not be producing any duplicate messages. I think we may have seen things like that in the older version as well. It's nothing different. You know, you have our applications, subscribing applications, and how they're connecting, how they're subscribing to topics on IIB. Or MQ rather, then nothing's really changed. You would not be. We do not expect you to get duplicate messages at all. There has to be a way around it. I do not have the exact answer on what is that particular option that you might use, but I can certainly dig that up from you from a few from our repository. But it's. You would not be seeing any duplicate messages. I'm pretty sure about that. Let's see, any?
For the auto export resources. Okay, so.
Go ahead with the question.
Let's see. If we have a lot of message flows or set projects to migrate, is there a possibility to automate the process of migrating toolkit resources instead of a manual right-click export? There's not an automated process, but there is a faster process than what you just described. If you, within the toolkit, if you click on File and then Export, it pops up with a window asking you first what kind of export you want to do, and then it pops up with a list of all of the resources in that workspace. And instead of having to manually go in and right-click each resource and say, I want to export this, you can select all of the resources in that workspace using the checkboxes and export it that way. That way you're basically taking a backup of your workspace instead of simply doing a backup of each individual resource. We're going to use administrative security with... Okay, we're currently using administration security with IIB 902. How can we use MQ security with B10 without having to create user IDs with MQSF? Web user admin. So as Vivek kind of mentioned before, if you're using MQ administrative security, there shouldn't really be much of anything that you need to do extra to migrate over those security parameters. However, if you want to use tools like WebUI and things like that, you will still need to run the MQSI web user admin, because when you've enabled administration on a broker, whether it's file-based or MQ-based, when you pull up WebUI, it will ask you for a login and password. And that login and password information is a user ID and password that was created using the web MQSI web user admin. So if you have no plans of using WebUI, then I believe you should be good. Next question is, what version of WTX is supported for IPv10? I do not know off the top of my head. Vivek, do you know?
No, we'll have to check the software product compatibility reports.
Right.
I can post a link in the web conference chat. There is one for WTX, which basically it will not be. I don't think it would be in the IIB system requirements reports. You would actually find it in WTX report, but I can double check on that and get
right.
And send you the link.
I did check the IIB system requirements page, and I didn't see WTX listed. I know we work with WTX. We will do that, but like Vivek said, I think that's listed in the WTX page, not ours.
Yeah.
Okay. Can we customize the monitoring-related database tables in IIBv10 as it was not possible in IIBv9? I am not sure about that one, but we can get an answer for you on that from our resources, unless Vivek knows off the top of his head.
Can you customize monitoring-related database tables in IIBv10 as it was? No, I do not know off the top. Monitoring-related database tables. If you can maybe elaborate a little bit on it, what kind of monitoring-related database tables are there? We can certainly check on those. You're welcome to send emails to any of our email addresses.
Yes.
We can follow up with those with you as well. They're on the first page. Thank you, Kathy.
I will say this, too. Nothing that in any of the sessions that I've been in, I haven't heard anything specifically about monitoring database tables and being changeable or not. So there's a good chance that if the behavior was that way in version 9, it's the same in version 10. But we'll need to confirm that. Okay, next question. If we have multiple broker versions running on the same node, how does the ODBC INI need to be configured on Linux OS as there is a limitation of having a single ODBC INI file? I think that is there a limitation of having a single ODBC INI file?
No.
No limitation?
There is no limitation on ODBC. You can have multiple ODBC INI as long as you're referencing them under different user IDs. So if you have multiple brokers, if you are running them under different user IDs, then each user ID could have its own profile, point to its own profile, having the ODBC INI environment variable pointing to its own ODBC INI file. Mm-hmm. So there was no limitation, and there is no limitation like that. But that would be the restriction. You would need to have those running under different user IDs.
And even using a single INI file. Within that INI file, you can specify multiple database sources. So you can have different connection parameters set up listed under a different database source, and then within multiple brokers, even if you're referencing the same ODBC INI file, you can reference different sources within those within that single INI file and have different connection parameters that way. Last question on here that I see is, any specific changes to WRT data power?
With respect to data power.
With respect to data power. Gotcha.
No changes.
No changes.
No changes that we're aware of. No. Hopefully that helps answer your questions. The ones that we have not, I've made a note of the ones that we've not been able to answer, and I'm thinking, how do we, what is the best way, Kathy, to respond to the folks that have asked the questions?
There are two ways. First, the people that are asking the questions, feel free to send your email address directly to the speakers via the chat room, or the person asking the questions can send you an email, and the email for the speakers are on slide one.
Okay. There was one more question that popped up at the end here. What are the recommended source code management and deployment utilities that work best with IAB? There are some tools that are available. The names of them flip my head right now, but they allow you to do version control within the toolkit. So you can have version management of source code. However, deployment utilities, we recommend deploying either using the command line, the toolkit, and we also have instructions in the Info Center, the Knowledge Center, about how to set it up with ANT scripts as well.
So there is a link on the in the Knowledge Center there. If you look for version control and integrating your version control with IIB, you can find a lot of information there on the version, different version control repositories that are available, that can integrate with your toolkit. You may want to check that out.
A question came up about whether or not IAB V10 supports using Urban Code Deployment Utility. I'm not familiar with Urban Code Deployment Utility, but if you're actually referring to deploying your source code onto the node itself, again, we provide several different methods of doing this. We don't not support the use of scripting tools to handle these deployments, but from a support perspective, we're if it works outside of the tools, then we're not going to provide a fix for it not working within a tool that is not owned by us. So use at your own discretion.
I think there might be something if you're on IIB community, you may want to pose that. I think there is some information on Urban Code deployment there. The link is under the references section, the IBM Integration Bus community. This is the community that's run and operated by labs and services and support. So there, if you search in there on Urban Code, you will. I recall I've seen something along the lines of Urban Code deployment there. Back to one question, the question are the, on the source control. I did find the link that talks about Rational Team Concert and Eclipse-based tools that can be integrated with the toolkit. So certainly go into the Knowledge Center and check it out. And the other thanks, Paul, for mentioning that. The DW Answers is another forum that can be used to post your questions. DW Answers is a forum that's constantly being looked at by the development labs, test teams, support teams, level 2, level 3. And again, the link is on the slide on the last under resources slide, the last one that says IAB DW Answers. Feel free and post questions there. This is just a forum that I think, we're growing as IAB community, and traditionally we had been, there had been a lot of, use on mqseries.net and things like that, but this is IAB specific. So you can ask any sort of questions related to IAB, even without opening any PMRs, and get your questions answered really quick and easy, fast way.
There are no more questions. So at this time, we will conclude the presentation. Thank you very much for joining us, and thank you, David and Vivek, for presenting. This was a great session. You all have a great day.
Thank you.